30 and Nerdy Podcast is a Studio 66 production brought to you by Tennessee Legend Distillery. Founded in 2017, Tennessee Legend Distillery has become one of the premier stops in Tennessee for crafted spirits. Here, we won't blow that old smoke in your eyes or herd you like cattle just to make a buck. At Tennessee Legend Distillery, we want you to feel at home and treated like a legend. Because here, you are one. Whether it be our Tennessee Wild Man Vodka, our number one selling salted caramel whiskey, our 120 proof Hammershine, the King Snake Bourbon Whiskey, or any of our other spirits, we promise that there is something here for you. We are also your stop for the line of Assassin's Creed products with our partnerships with Ubisoft and Anthem Spirits. You can get the AC-15 Bourbon Whiskey, the Valhalla Vodka, our Edward Kenway Spiced Rum, and a lot more on the horizon for 2024 from Ubisoft, Anthem Spirits, and Tennessee Legend Distillery. Even if you aren't in driving distance, go to TennesseeLegend.com to see how you can get our spirits and merchandise shipped to you. So what are you waiting for? Come walk among legends at Tennessee Legend Distillery. What's up, nerds and nerdettes? Welcome to a new season, a sinister sixth season of 30 Nerdy Podcast. I'm your host, the Duke of Nerds, Sweet Tea of the Nerdy South, Tyler Mack. And of course, joined by the co-host, the juicy one. He's freshly squeezed and fresh off an extremely busy past 6 months of his life.
Oh, goodness.
And getting ready for an even more busy next 6 months of his life.
Yeah.
It's the doctor of Nerdonomics, Josh Davis. What's up, Doc?
Hey, my man.
We're back, baby.
Season six. We are back. Six. Six time. Podcast champions of the world.
Yes, sir.
If that's a thing.
Season six, nearing up on 5 years of doing it come May.
Wow. Tell you, man.
It's wild how fast time flies.
And, you know, we've joked for so long about what are we going to do when we're not 30 in our 30s anymore. That is approaching faster than we anticipated, I think.
It is quickly approaching a lot faster than I anticipated it. But alas, what is life? We live a little, we die. Life's tough. Get a helmet. So speaking of that, we are going to catch up a little bit here. We have just been buried in the theater world.
We have
in
been.
So many ways. I mean, with the two of us involved with each other, we were in a show for Encore together, Clue. We'll talk a little bit about that first. Mm-hmm. How did it feel to be back on stage after so long?
I was terrified, to be honest with you. I was really, really nervous. I think I was nervous the whole time leading up to it, you know, and it was a pretty short process. Mm-hmm. But like that opening day, dude, I was pins and needles, fidgeting up a storm, could not sit still, just so nervous. And, you know, I had a lot of lines. I had a lot to do. I had a lot of responsibility in that show. Mm-hmm. And just I'm how I am. I'm always doubting myself and all that. But at the end of the day, pulled it off, felt great. After that opening night, I think I said to you, like, yeah, I really needed that. And, mm-hmm. and it sort of felt like, okay, you know, this is what I remember. I can still do this. And it sounds so like, I'm sure some people think about how dramatic I sound right now. I get it. It does sound dramatic, but like when this is something that you do consistently for so long as we did, and then you are away from that world for so long, like I was, it, you know, it feels different, you know, it feels strange. And I had a lot of anxiety, but I was so glad that I did it. I really miss that camaraderie among adults in the theater world. I obviously love my kids at school very, mm-hmm. very dearly. And I'm very passionate about my program that I'm building. But it's different when, you know, you're the one in charge and you got to be the leader all the time. But having that camaraderie amongst the adults and not being the one in charge and all that really felt great. The bonding with everyone and mm-hmm. being on stage with you again. And we had a lot of great moments on stage together.
Yeah, we did.
So I was very thankful for the experience and really just thrilled to get back up there. And you know, that being said, it'll probably be a while before I do it again, just because of schedule and mm-hmm. life and stuff like that. But it was a great little break from my retirement.
If you didn't follow along with social media, between my personal one and our 30 and Nerdy podcast, the show we were talking about is Josh and myself were in Clue. He was Wadsworth the Butler, if you've seen the movie, the Tim Curry character, and mm-hmm. I played Mr. Green. Sold out, I believe, all but one show, which is great. Great cast of talented, fun individuals to be with. Everyone was
which is another reason that I was so nervous was because, mm-hmm. like, I knew that the cast was just going to be mm-hmm. so good, and I just was always worried about fitting in with the timing and mm-hmm. Being up to par with these really great talented actors that we had with us up there.
Yeah,
they were great, man.
It was really a fantastic run, and luckily we still get to see some of them here and there through encore stuff. And then the next thing we jumped literally right into was you directed and I assistant directed the first Young Star show, Charlotte's Web, which again, complete sold out run. We had seven shows of it and sold them all out. Some of them beyond the capacity that we were technically allowed to have, but luckily no one told anybody. A really talented group of kids. We had over 50 audition. Took 27, and even that was a lot. And we could have taken more if we had the room. That's the thing is
that was the biggest part of it.
It was so hard to not cast some of these kids, some of them very talented.
Yeah.
It's just, you know, we worked with the theater space we had and the set space that we had. So but a great run. The cast was great. The kids were so fun and energetic. Some of them you're just like, man, the future of theater in this area is secure with some of these kids.
It's in very good hands.
Yes. It's just an all-star cast, just fantastic group to work with. I know we had a lot of jokes, you know, being like, I don't remember this as a kid, or I don't remember being like this as a kid. I really don't remember the world being so dramatic when I was a kid. But everything they said and did, whether it was what someone posted on a TikTok or what someone said at school today, it couldn't just be talked about. Like, they had to huddle and you'd see their heads moving back and forth and their hands up. And I'm just like, I don't remember being that dramatic.
Well, like, I wasn't. Well,
Allison wore this shirt today and...
I wasn't a theater kid at that stage of my life. I think I would have been if I'd had any opportunity where I was growing up to do such a thing other than like at school. But, you know, I think it's because not only are they that age, but they're also the theater kids.
Yes.
So they're prone to be a little extra teeny bit more dramatic, which is why we love them.
And everything they have to tell you is just grandiose. Everything they have to tell you, whether it's a friend is coming to see their show, it's, oh my gosh, Josh, oh, you're not gonna believe it, my friend is coming to the show tonight. That's great.
Well, that's great.
Is it I'm so nervous, like, I didn't know, they just told me at school today. Okay, well, that's great.
Well, they, some of the older girls have really had an impact on Emma for better or worse. Well, you know, she was They loved Emma. They adored her. They did. So, you know, they were like, oh, yes, queen, go off, queen. And that's lit. And da, da, da. So now she's one of the girls.
Oh,
so, which is, wait, we didn't say that. Yeah. Emma was in the show.
Emma, my daughter was her first show and we got to direct. Yes. I think that like Madison made a comment before Tech Week even started. She was like, it hit me today that like, oh, my God, I made Emma's first costume.
Yes.
Like, oh, my God, here we go. Here we are. You know, like Emma Davis is starting theater. And so it was
me as her director and you as her assistant director, Madison being one of her costumers, her best friend, Millie, who they've known each other their whole lives. She was in the show and Millie's mom, who's
talented. And, we've done shows with.
We've known her for years and years and years. And like, you know, it was very special.
It really was.
There were times where it was exhausting and it was frustrating. Kids are hard, man. You know, everybody knows that. It's no secret. Kids are tough. Kids listening at school, I love you so much, but y'all are tough sometimes. But here's the old cliche. It was so rewarding. It really was. And, you know, not only from the standpoint of me as dad, getting to watch my daughter on stage every night and be her first director and, you know, get to share that with her, which is just something that I will carry with me for the rest of my life. It's so special. But besides all that, just seeing the kids grow, like I would notice how, and I don't think this is a testament to our direction or our leadership. I think it's just a testament to being on stage and getting the experience, which is something that I just love to watch. But like some of the kids who were so unsure of every single movement to make or how to say something and would ask 100 questions. How do I do this? How do I do that? Which, you know, I get it. That's what you do with your kids and you're unsure about how to do things. But I would always try to be like, look, just play. That's why we call it a play. Just play, just explore, just try things. They were so uncomfortable with that. But you would see as the shows would go on how comfortable they would become and they would start to make those little choices and the instincts would start to show up like, oh, I should exit this way or I should cross in front of this when, you know, these things happen. And that was so great to watch. I always loved that part of the process, which I'm fortunate to get to do, you know, as a day job.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
It was just extra great with the littles.
We talk about, you know, like, oh, that show's over. Now I can rest, but neither one of us really get to rest. I mean, I'm going straight into the next show, assistant directing Godspell, which opens late April, goes into early May. You are straight into the spring play.
It's called Attack of the Killer Man from the Sun.
Yes,
it's like mystery science theater meets the play that goes wrong meets the Twilight Zone.
Okay.
So it's like set in the 1950s. There's a narrator in a suit and, you know, he's reading from the script and the actors are like reacting to what he says and does. And there's aliens and it's great. It's hysterical. These kids are hilarious. If you're in the area, come see our show April 18th, 19th, and 20th. At 7 o'clock at Jefferson County High School. And we have a matinee, first time I've ever done a Sunday matinee for a spring play on April 21st at 2:30.
Awesome. We've got a lot of stuff happening at Tennessee Legend Distillery. Our main sponsor, Studio 66 and Tennessee Legend Distillery. We've got this coming weekend, a big event with the High Roller Monster Truck. If you're into the Monster Truck world, it is part of the Bigfoot family of Monster Trucks. We have made a brand new bourbon whiskey, which is very similar to our King Snake. It's a little bit more caramel forward, a little higher proof. But the Monster Truck on the 22nd will be at our Newport Highway location. On the 23rd, we'll be at our Highway 66 location in Sevierville. And the next day, on the 24th, we'll be at our Nashville location. There will be free photo ops and autograph opportunities. You get to meet the driver. We would love to crush a car, but I don't think that is in the cards for this one, sadly.
I have two questions.
Yes.
Two questions. One. Who gets to drive the monster truck from Sevierville to Nashville?
So what they do, and I was literally today years old because I asked the exact same question at work today.
Of course you did.
I said, does he drive? And they said, no. What happens is they change the tires out to normal tires. What? So yes, it's a theatrical, crazy looking car, but it's on normal tires. They'll put it on the big wheels when he gets to the location. He's not driving it. Someone else will drive it. He's being driven around to the different places. I went, so wait, you're telling me that this guy isn't taking the opportunity to drive down 75 from Knoxville to Nashville?
Do you know how many of us grew up dreaming of driving a monster truck? And this dude's like, nah, I'm good. And you could drive it on the interstate where everybody will see you? What?
Exactly.
What's wrong with you? Okay, my second question. I did not realize there was a... Did you say the what family of trucks?
The Bigfoot family of monster trucks.
So Bigfoot is a famous monster truck, right?
Yes.
There's a family of Bigfoots? Explain.
I think it's...
Extrapolate.
I think it's like, you know how that there will be like in NASCAR, there's like owners who own maybe four or five different cars.
Sure.
Technically. Kind of like in Ricky Bobby, you know, that the... jerk character owned like three or four different race cars. Ricky's buddy Cal and the new guy that they brought in. I think it's like one guy owns like multiple monster trucks, and the Bigfoot was the first one.
Yeah. Okay.
Of his brand and stuff like that. But yeah, we have a new bourbon, higher proof, a little more caramel forward than our King Snake, coming out in conjunction with it this coming weekend. So if you are in the area and you're listening to this and you're into the monster truck world, come on out to one of the three locations. You can follow Tennessee Legend Distillery on all forms of social media, and all the information is there. So come on out. But also, we have even more things happening with our Anthem partnership. More Assassin's Creed spirits are on the way. We've got a second one in the Black Flag family. A white rum that will release that is going to be called the Jackdaw, based off its ship, the ship that Edward Kenway has. We're going to have one that has Connor Kenway's autograph, and it's going to be the Revolutionary War flag. We've got the British flag for a gin based off of Syndicate. Not a gin fan, but the bottle really looks cool, especially if you're into collecting. Even if you're not into drinking, this is a cool series of bottles to collect. And we have a big partnership coming out very soon with the Far Cry video game series. They are celebrating a big anniversary coming up, and we are going to have a special Far Cry spirit in celebration with that. And I have never played those games.
Oh, I love those games.
Really?
Mm-hmm. I started with 3, and I've played all of them since 3, I think. Dude, they're great. I am not much of a like binge gamer or watcher because I just can't sit still for that long. But when I get the Far Cry game, truly, like I beat the whole thing in like 3 or 4 days.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't know. There's something so satisfying. Like you have this whole map and you have to go across and like clear bases and take them over. It's like almost like the map is like a game board, like Risk.
Oh,
you gotta capture outposts and supply raids and stuff, and I just love it's so satisfying, like clearing all the map. So
I need to check them out.
Yeah, dude, Giancarlo Esposito was a big part of the last one they did.
I've got a long list, and with the movie coming out, our generous manager of TLD and dear friend Brian Lowe bought me the Borderlands series. He was like, hey, it was all rolled up into one game. It's $15. You need to, you know, do 2, then 3, then 1. I was like, okay. He likes 2 better, he says.
2 is really good. I just don't know that I would go... I would end with 1 because it's going to be frustrating when it's not as good as the other ones. Mm-hmm. Like as far as the graphics and the how fluid it is and stuff.
So 2, 1, 3.
Story's probably better. Yeah.
Well, I plan on playing them just so I can, you know, go into this movie with a little bit of knowledge, because I do want to see the movie. It looks pretty. I know that everyone's kind of up in arms about the casting of Kevin Hart, because this guy's supposed to be like 7 feet tall. Brian said that his choice in casting would have been M'Baku from Black Panther to play this character.
Is that guy a comedic actor? I mean, I'm sure he could be, but yeah.
He's done. Okay. He's got this one movie with Mark Wahlberg that he did after Black Panther 1. He's funny and it's good. But yeah, and then plus, I mean, I don't know much about the world, and I can imagine I've been up in arms before about something that I'm passionate about. So I understand why people are like, oh, they're doing all this. So, but I do want to see the movie. So I did feel like I need to play the games first.
It's just, man, video game movies. Usually not great.
Well, and that's because they should be shows. And I thought we had proven that, you know?
Yeah.
Long form storytelling is better in television.
Sonic is like the exception.
Yeah. Yeah.
But the second one I didn't really love.
Yeah. Even then it falls to the sequel curse. Like the, should have just stopped. You know, you had it. But yeah, so there's a lot going on at Tennessee Legend Distillery. Follow those social media platforms to keep up to date. Also, if you followed us recently, and we will play at later in this episode, Fanboy Expo, Tis the Season. There was a brand new one this spring that we got to be a part of for one day because of our very busy theater schedule. Anime, TV, and Gaming, Fanboy Expo. It was last weekend, not this past weekend, but the weekend before, and we still got to run a cosplay contest. Not as huge as the one in July, but still quite a bit of contestants and a lot of fun. And we got to work with Mary Catherine again, who judged for us, and we actually got to follow the turtles again, like we did in Orlando.
They and opened this for time, us once though, again.
We got to talk to Rob Paulson a little bit between that dead time between their panel.
It's really cool.
Our contest, really cool guy. And
shout out to Danielle Three, to a mutual friend of Rob Paulson's and ours. So I brought him up to her. He had lovely things to say about her, as everyone does.
Yes, he did. And the turtle guys were great in the panel before. Joanna was just always such a treat to work with. Anytime she'd stop by and have some funny story to say or see if we needed anything. A huge thank you to Fanboy Expo and Joanna and David and them, and allowing us to be a part of this. And speaking of, this July is going to be huge. Your boys have got some planning to do.
You think we're allowed to talk about it?
That's all you get for now.
Yeah.
Yeah, that is all you get for now. We do have a couple of interviews, though, that we are going to play before the commercial break. We will get to those in a second. But keep on the lookout, Fanboy Expo, Facebook, Instagram. Go to their website. The one in July in Knoxville is coming up. I can say you're going to want to be there. It's going to be magical. There are things that we cannot discuss that we were made privy to, but it will be a magical world to be a part of this July at Fanboy Expo in Knoxville. So stay tuned to their social media and the ones that they have already announced. Machete is going to be there.
Danny Trejo,
aka Dolph Ziggler, is going to be there. They're working on a reunion of the 90s live action Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles movies in a panel and guest opportunities. A lot of great voice actors are coming back. Some new ones. I know your daughter is going to be very excited to meet Miraculous.
Definitely.
Is that from PJ Mask or
no, it's from Miraculous, the show.
She has her own show. The little polka dot girl. She's like red.
Yeah, she's like a ladybug or something. I really don't know.
Something like that. Her voice actress is gonna be there. But it's going to be really big. We thought last year was big. Last year was huge. With the Lord of the Rings cast there.
Yeah, this will be just as big. Michael Rooker's going to be there as well.
Mm-hmm.
feelings about it one way or the other. Gina Carano is going to be there. Mm-hmm. I believe that Giancarlo Esposito is.
Yes, he's returning coming, since he was right? unable to make it last year. He's actually going to be able to come to make this one work. So
we've got Peter Cullen, the voice of Optimus Prime, Ray Eagle. Park, Darth Maul, you know, John Lovitz.
Doug is coming back. Doug Jones, sweet human being.
Yes. Oh, goodness gracious. He's such a sweet man. I will be going to speak to him. Maybe we can get him on the show.
Yeah, maybe we can get him on the show.
Danica McKellar is going to be there. Winnie from The Wonder Years.
And if you're a Young Justice fan, Miss Martian's voice. They're actually doing a Wonder Years reunion. I wonder if Savage will be there.
We've also got Samoa Joe and Eric Bischoff coming too.
I'm back.
Yeah.
Mm. Be crazy if we could get the old Bischoff on the podcast.
I think he's probably got an exclusive thing with Conrad.
Probably.
We could try.
Yeah, probably. But yes. Please go and follow Fanboy Expo on Instagram and Facebook. Stay up to date. If you are able to make it, come by and see us. We will be where you sign up for the cosplay contest. We will be heading that up again and some other things. More details to come soon. But before we get to this intermission, we got to speak to two people. We got to do two little interviews. It was nice. It was very nice of them too. It's always nice of them because they don't have to do that. You know, Joanna's like very like, you know, who do you want to talk to? There's some people that I can make work. There's some you can't make work. But, you know, she's always trying to take care of us. And you know, so we got to talk to the incomparable Billy West, voice actor, legend.
I told him as much. What's it like to be a living legend? And he was, you know, very humble, we'll just say. But he certainly is. If you're our age and you're, you know, a Nickelodeon kid, and to any extent, you watch Doug, you know about Doug, Futurama.
Ren and Stimpy.
Ren and Stimpy, come on. And he's the guy behind it.
Bugs Bunny in the first Space Jam, he replaced Mel Blanc.
Yeah.
And it was huge shoes to fill.
That's a pretty nice feather to be able to put in the cap. So,
and we also talked to my favorite Green Lantern, not just as Jon Stewart, but my favorite voice to Jon Stewart. Phil Lamar from Mad TV. He was a little bit more sheltered of an interview.
Yeah.
One would say
that's okay.
A little quieter, a little more reserved, but it was still great to talk to someone that, again, you know, he even mentions, you know, they're one of those moments that you're just like outside yourself. He's like, when I got to do Scooby-Doo with Casey Kasem. You know, I'm like, oh, my God, I grew up listening to this guy voicing this role, and now I'm in this episode. And that's kind of what it is when we get to talk to these voice actors and like, yeah, but what you don't understand, sir, is we grew up listening to you, and now we just shook hands with you and fist bumped with you.
Yeah.
So, yeah, thank you. It's awesome. It's very cool. So we will take a quick break after those interviews, but here are those interviews.
All right, what's up, everybody? So Tyler and Josh here at Fanboy Expo once again, and we are so privileged to be talking to the one and only Mr. Billy West. How's it going, Mr. West?
Oh my God. Oh my Jesus. What I know about him. Oh, let me tell you.
You can leave now.
All right, bye.
Okay.
You know, I have conversations with myself. You meet a better class of people that way.
I got to remember that one.
Yeah.
Wow.
So we have some questions for you. I'll take the first question.
Okay.
Tell me what it's like to be a living legend.
A living legend? I didn't know that.
Oh, you are?
Oh,
well,
certainly.
I mean, you know what it is? It's like it's not up to me to give myself that title. It's up to people. So I don't talk to everybody about myself. You know, I just go to work. That's all I do is go to work
and
sleep.
Have fun.
And sleep.
Right.
Yeah.
But, you know, I mean, I'm just grateful for everything. I'm grateful to be doing Futurama after all these years.
How long have you been in the voice acting game?
Professionally, I've been doing it about 42 years.
So I don't know about Tyler here, but I grew up on Doug.
Uh-huh. Yes.
And I remember Ren and Stimpy, of course. Yes. So, and I can't remember her name, but the actress who would play Patty Mayonnaise.
Connie Shulman.
She grew up just like an hour up the road from where we're from in Johnson City, Tennessee.
Yeah. Well, they're 30 years older now.
Yeah.
And you you think one kid's going to grow up one way and the other's going to grow up the other way. You're sure he's going to grow up to be like a pillar of the community or a, you know, philanthropist or something. But you never know. Now they're, I guess, 30 years later, and he was 11. Okay, so he's 41 now.
41 now.
Dear Journal, today I blew up a courthouse. See him in handcuffs in the courtroom. Order in the court! Order, Judge Roger Klotz. Oh, look who it is. It's Bunny, you loser! I knew I was going to see you in here one day. Guilty, guilty. You got guilty written all over your face. It's even spelled wrong. Oh, you're going to jail, Funny. You're going to be someone's bitch in jail, Funny. You're going for 1,000 years, Funny. Oh, no. Why did I blow up a courthouse?
So one of my favorite things that you ever partook in actually wasn't anything animated. It was the documentary, I Know That Voice.
Oh, right.
I love that documentary because I'm a big voice actor fan.
I loved that documentary,
and too. You talked a little bit about him, but how much of your urge to become a voice actor was because of Mel Blanc?
Oh, he started the ball rolling for lots of people. When I was a little kid, I certainly heard him all the time on TV. I grew up in Detroit. I grew up in the 50s. And it was Mel Blanc that gives voice actors the spark, pretty much. But I had a hero before I knew who Mel Blanc was. My mom let me stay up to watch this show called Your Show of Shows, and it had a guy named Sid Caesar.
Mm-hmm.
And Carl Reiner was on it, and Imogene Coca, and Howard Morris. And to me, they were gods of comedy. I was only like 5 years old, and I'll never forget what I saw when I was that age. I couldn't get over it, and I idolized that guy, Sid Caesar. And then one day, I actually met him and got to work with him. Yeah, I've met a lot of my heroes.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
So people obviously are going to talk to you a lot about Doug and Futurama and Ren and Stimpy and Space Jam. I want to ask you about something probably people don't talk to you about a lot, and that's King of the Hill.
Yeah.
You did a few episodes of King of the Hill, right? And one of my favorite ones is you played a character named Mr. Holloway.
Yes.
Remember this? And I was telling Tyler about it. Hank was supposed to impress Mr. Holloway, and he was from, I think, Boston.
Boston.
And he was like, oh, I'm going to call you Jaya. Oh, give me some ones for the strip club, Jaya. So I was wondering if you could talk about working with Mike Judge and being on King of the Hill.
Well, I knew Mike Judge because I had met him. He came into the Howard Stern show when I used to work there. You know, so we were talking and, you know, having a good time and everything. And then later on, and when he did King of the Hill, they called me up. And this Mr. Holloway wanted to have the Texas experience.
Right.
And Burt Reynolds was in that, too.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Was he Fatherton?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Fatherton.
Fatherton.
Oh.
Fatherton. Yeah, and it was just funny to do. And the Boston accent is such an odd accent, because I grew up there. I was born in Detroit, Michigan, but I grew up in Boston. So I remember everybody talking like they just let words fall out of their mouth there.
That character always was memorable to me, just because of that.
Because
that accent
of that
and the voice. So for years, I've always remembered. I'm going to call you Jaya.
Jaya.
Love it. Love it.
So what's a role that you wish you had had the chance to voice?
I don't think of things like that. I was just glad I did what I did.
Mm.
I don't covet anybody's roles, or you know, I don't sit there and go, that should have been me, or I could have done that. You know, yeah. I just don't. That's like amateur stuff. That's when you're new and you've got everything to prove and you're insecure, and you know, and you're going, I could have done that. Why did they get him? You know.
So there's no role that, you know, even if not necessarily someone else is doing it or whatever, but a role that, like, oh, if they ever need a new person to do that, that's a character I would love to do. There's nothing like that out there that sticks out.
No, I've done all of that kind of stuff. I mean, I did Space Jam, the original one.
Yeah.
And they got to work with Michael Jordan too, Doc.
Yeah.
You know, and it was like, that was big shoes to fill, and I had to carry a movie, you know, as Bugs Bunny and Elmer Fudd. And, but, I mean, that's the pinnacle, you know. If you're gonna replace somebody, I've replaced voices for franchises just to keep franchises going.
Yeah.
Like Casey Kasem.
Yeah.
He didn't do Scooby-Doo on Zombie Island. So I did Shaggy.
Wow.
Yeah, and that was a good movie, and it also had a killer soundtrack. It was like death metal.
Yeah,
I remember that. So, last question for you.
Yep.
This fanboy is all about celebrating fandoms and the things that we love.
Yes.
What's something you're a fan of, Mr. West?
What am I a fan of?
Please don't forget.
I can talk about, well, I can't really talk a whole lot because I don't know a whole lot about her, but I know that I crush on Aubrey Plaza.
My wife looks a lot like
just
Aubrey
Plaza. Like Robin.
Glad to see you. Yeah. Glad to see you. Don't kick the tires. Let's play cards. No, Aubrey Plaza intrigues me. She colors outside the lines, so there's something really special about her. Mm-hmm. I think about her. I think about her all night. I tweet her. You don't know me.
Well, all thank right. you so much for taking time to talk to us.
Oh, my pleasure,
it's
you
nice
guys.
Nice to meet you, Mr. Let's West.
Nice to meet you, too.
So, ladies and gentlemen, we are here with Phil Lamar at Fanboy Expo this weekend. Mr. Lamar, how's it going?
It's going great because we've got old friends like Mindy Sterling here at the con.
Yeah, just saw
right
Mindy.
Behind you.
Oh, there she is. She's standing right behind me, isn't she? So, I'll start with this one. So, I grew up watching a lot of Mad TV. So, what's some of your favorite memories of working on Mad TV?
Well, it was just such a great cast, you know, and crew. I mean, although back then, being late night on Fox was like living in the ghetto of TV. You know, nobody in show business was watching us.
Right.
So.
Were you on at the same time as Alex Borstein?
Yes. Alex came on my last two seasons.
Okay.
I was there in the first five. She came in after, I guess, season three.
So you all had that connection then when you went on to do Family Guy.
Yes. That's why. Because the executive who was in, you know, Fox executive for Mad TV was the person who brought Seth MacFarlane into network TV.
Okay.
Wow. So, I did watch Mad TV, but I grew up with you being my favorite Green Lantern.
After the fact.
Not just John Stewart.
So, you're younger 30s.
Yes, younger 30s.
Or about 34.
Yes. Not just John Stewart being my favorite Green Lantern, but my favorite rendition of John Stewart was you. So, talk about working with, I mean, that's a legendary voice cast in its own. I mean, you have the late Kevin Conroy.
Oh, yes.
And so what was it like working with that crew?
It was fantastic. I mean, especially as an old school comic book fan.
Exactly.
You know, to get to be part of the DC universe was great. You know, and the fact that by the time we did Justice League, they had established, you know, Bruce Timm and Kevin working on Batman the Animated Series had moved the bar so far up. Because, you know, before that, most of the animated versions of comic book heroes weren't that great.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, when I was a little kid, I watched Super Friends, but, you know, you just liked it because of those characters.
Yes.
Yeah.
You don't think, you know, walk away like, oh, that was the best show ever in my childhood. Didn't touch you like Star
Wars. It was different because it brought, you know, a little bit of grittiness, I guess you might say, when Batman started. And that was sort of the catapult for all of that, it seems
like.
You know, honestly, I feel like without Batman, the animated series, you couldn't have got those movies.
No.
I think you're right.
Those darker, you know, Christopher Nolan type movies and stuff.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Well, the Tim Burton back then.
Yeah, Tim Burton back then.
So I want to ask about Family Guy again. So Ollie, great character. Have you been doing any Family Guy recently? I feel like we haven't seen Ollie in a while.
No.
Do we know what happened to him?
I have no idea.
It's a question for Seth, right?
It is a question for Seth.
I met his sister a few months ago. I should have asked her then. Okay. So what's, other than Ollie, what's some things on Family Guy that you've enjoyed
doing? Well, the first
doing?
Character I did was, well, actually, in the first episode, I did Judge that Peter was up against.
Guilty,
and
guilty,
also
guilty.
A neighbor who was, you know, notifying Peter about, you know, the thermostat in the house, things like that. So, you know, there's always lots of smaller characters. But Ollie was the first regular, you know, semi-regular character once that happened.
So you've also voiced King Orm. Is there any news of a new season of Young Justice?
Possibility. There's always a question mark about seasons of Young Justice for some reason. Which is crazy because the show is so good.
It's so good.
You know?
The writing, the voice cast, the characters they've got. I love Young Justice.
Yeah, Greg Wiseman is a genius.
Yes.
Yeah, his original series and, you know, Young Justice, both fantastic.
Yeah.
In all of your experiences in working in the industry, has there ever been a time where, you know, you work with so many people, has there ever been a time that you've been starstruck? Oh, I can't believe I'm working with this person or that person.
Well, I think the biggest example of that was the first time I got to do an episode of Scooby-Doo.
Mm.
And I'm there working on a cartoon I grew up watching.
Yeah.
And I walk in the booth and Casey Kasem, the original voice of Shaggy, is there on the mic. And they're like, all right, Casey, can you just give us a couple lines to set the volume level? And he starts doing the voice. And I totally flash back. I felt like I'm 7 years old with a bowl of cereal on my lap right now.
Yeah.
Like, no, no, dummy, you're at work.
That's awesome.
Special.
Yeah. That really is awesome.
Yeah, no, hearing, you know, a person standing next to you do a voice that is in your childhood brain, it's like hearing your parents' voice.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, because when you're in your 30s and your mom says your full name like she did when you were in trouble, you flash back.
It's the same. It's the same. But speaking of that, you know, people hearing voices that they grew up with in their childhood, that's sort of what this is about, this whole weekend, Fanboy, and about, you know, celebrating things that you're fans of. So what are you a fan of?
Well, I'm a big fan of comic books, like I said. And really, one of the big reasons I started attending cons as guests is because most of them were comic cons, and there would be comic book, you know, legends there.
Yeah.
And, you know, over the years, every time I've gotten to meet people that, you know, mean so much to me, like Neil Adams, you know, and Bill Sienkiewicz.
And illustrators.
John
and stuff,
Byrne and Frank Miller.
Wow, yeah.
You know, I mean, that is just such a joy.
That's awesome. What is one performance that you have just been most proud of?
I don't know. I mean, well, the thing is, with voiceover, it's a collaboration.
Yes.
And as the voice of a character, we're at most 33% of it.
Yeah.
Because without the artwork and the writing, it's not the whole thing.
Sure.
You know, it's not just a voice. No, you got to know what words you're saying, and then you got to see it come to life with the art. And obviously, the artists, the animators, listen to what we do because the voice gets recorded before the animation.
Right? Yeah.
And sometimes, you know, a choice that you make vocally will give them an idea about what to draw.
Yeah.
So we're working together. So any one, it's hard to say while you're doing.
Yeah.
Because you don't get to see the full performance until later.
Yeah.
There's none that stick out. It's like, it's the most fun to do the voice. Like, oh, I'm doing Ollie today, so I'm really looking forward to it because that one's a lot of fun to do. Or I'm doing, you know, Green Lantern today or anything. Like, I prefer this because it's more fun for me.
Right. No, no. I mean, you can read a script and know if something's good, you know.
Yeah.
Like, you know, Class of 3000. It's like, oh, wow, what a fantastic concept, you know. And Futurama, and, you know, but I've been lucky enough to work on with so many great creators and writers and producers.
Sure.
So that's a lot of preferences.
Well, we want to thank you for your time.
Thank you so much.
Beautiful. You're awesome.
What's up, guys? This is Logan, better known as the Rev of Rents, on yours truly, 30 and Nerdy Podcast. Exciting news coming to you because your boy now owns a business. And that business is Shane's Rib Shack in Georgia, McDonough, Highway 81. And we've got some delicious food. We got ribs. We got wings. We've got tendies. We've got boneless. We've got everything that you want. You like burgers? We got that too. And I would be very appreciative if you showed me the love that you showed me here, right here, at 30 Nerdy Podcast, and go and find me in Georgia and eat some of that Shane's Shack food. And if you do, always tell them that 30 and Nerdy sent you. And I promise, my word right here, you mention 30 and Nerdy, you get the free sweet tea. That's on me. And that's a promise, because the Reverence never breaks a promise.
Rolling out, no worries, no cares. When the car came out of nowhere, that's when my whole world changed. Pills for the pain, medical bills insane. I was down, I was out, but I wasn't quite done. Call 546-1111. You're in pain, yeah, we got you. You can't pay, yeah, we got you too. Boom, turn your wreck into a check. The ones for you now, call OEB Law. Boom, turn your wreck into a check. We got your back now, call OEB Law.
Hey, this is Billy West from Show Business. Hello. You listen to the 30 Nerdy Podcast. You're one stop for this sort of thing. Sorry.
Welcome back, nerds and nerdettes, to Nerdledge Redux. So we are going to spend the rest of the time sort of reintroducing ourselves to the new listeners that we have garnered over the years that may not have gone back and listened to our very first episode, Nerdledge. So I guess we'll just have to go back and see if our answers changed any since then. Some of these questions, okay. We could easily say, of course, yes, both. There is a world where both are awesome because we support both. But this is more of like a guns to your head. Where do you lean?
Your preference.
Your preference. You have to say it or I'm going to shoot you. Blah, blah, blah. So these are not answers that are meant to offend or spark a debate. These are just, you know, blah, blah.
Are they controversial questions?
Not really. No.
Oh. Okay.
Some of them are part of our flash round when we do interviews with people. So pretty easy. So Marvel or DC and why?
Well, I don't know if it's an advantage or not, but you have your responses listed here.
Yes, because I didn't announce.
So I know your answers.
Yes.
But I don't think it'll affect mine. Okay, so Marvel or DC, why? I am a Marvel guy through and through. I am for the red brand. Mm-hmm. I have always grown up loving the Marvel characters. I have very fond memories of Spider-Man and the X-Men, the animated series, from the early 90s. So that really sparked that for me. And, seeing what you're going to say here, I disagree a little bit. I feel that the heroes in Marvel are more relatable. I feel like they are more human because, one, like, it's in New York City. This is what Stan Lee used to talk about a lot. Like, yeah, Spider-Man lives in New York. Mm-hmm. That's a place that, you know, people live in, you can go to. Like, that's real to us. That's kind of like we talk about it in acting. Like, Candace is a big fan of the stakes. That's real stakes for us. Mm-hmm. Like, I can relate to these people.
Yeah.
And Peter Parker is this wimpy little nerd who suddenly, you know, gets the power to fight the bad guys. Like, what little kid can't relate in some way to that or love that? And whereas I feel like the DC brand, it's, you know, Metropolis and, you know, places like that that aren't real and is relatable. And I have always felt like the DC characters are all so overpowered. Like, everyone is so strong. And the Injustice games sort of always, I laugh because like, that's what it's like. Like you punch the people through walls and everyone's got lasers and super strength and speed and just demolishes everybody. Mm-hmm. Right. So that's sort of my take on it. Plus I feel like the, as far as the movie realm, mm-hmm. and I don't think you would, or anyone would really debate this. Marvel has just been far, far superior, over the last few years. So that's my answer.
Okay. I obviously lean the other way, DC, because it's naturally darker and grittier. Plus I think it handles the human heroes a little better, and like the forms of, like, you know, Jason Todd, Dick Grayson, Oliver Queen, Bruce Wayne. And I also think it has handled legacy heroes better, and what I mean is, like, you know, the Robins, the Batgirls compared to Batman legacy, whereas in Marvel there's like, if it's not Captain America Steve Rogers or Captain Marvel Carol Danvers, I don't think those other legacy characters are as strong or as good as the legacies in DC if you were to compare them. You know, Nightwing is a better legacy character than Winter Soldier or the second Captain America. I think DC's villains are better.
That is fair.
I think it's also just growing up in the height of animated comic books. DC had, you know, the animated series of Batman and Justice League and Superman, and the movies were always so great. And I think that they've been the best at reinventing themselves over the years, and kind of the comics and animation have led the way. I will never say that the live action world of DC is even close to par with Marvel, but I think in the comic and animated world, that's why, a big reason I've led towards DC, and it's mainly primarily that gritty dark. I love dark and gritty noir. And I think, like you said, their heroes, I think, they're almost like Greek gods.
Yeah.
In DC. They're like, you know, heightened and over. And that's what I think of when I think superhero.
And also something that DC has going for them is that, in my opinion anyway, when you think of like the stereotypical archetype for superhero, it's Superman, you know, and that's DC. So, you know, they have that going for them.
Yeah.
It's like the
archetype
staple.
Yeah. So favorite Marvel hero, Josh.
My favorite Marvel hero is Spider-Man, undoubtedly. My whole life, Spider-Man has been number one. I just love the fact that he is like the young guy. He's the kid, that he's witty. Plus, just as a kid, playing like I was swinging on webs off my grandma's couch, you know, that was always fun. And he, like you said, like with the legacy of characters, they're working on his legacy with Spider-Verse and Miles and all that.
Yeah.
But the fact that the character himself has stood the test of time for so long and has been so prominent, shows us how, you know, beloved he is. So that's my guy.
Yeah. I'd have to go with Wolverine in the Marvel world. Totally different than anything I'm like in real life, except for the short. He is a little shorter than I am. But his, and I think a lot of it is because, like, that 90s cartoon, man, that rabid, you know, smarting off the Cyclops, you know, kind of his own rogue wolf, you know, mentality, this berserker style. The voice that followed him with that character for so many years. And then kind of the rebirth of the character when Hugh Jackman took it on. You know, it was a different world. I mean, and nothing, I absolutely love, you know, Hugh Jackman's Wolverine, but it was such a step away from that cartoon we grew up with.
Yeah.
But he still brought something that kept me saying, yeah, it's still Wolverine.
Yeah, the intensity.
Yeah. And I know that it was Wolverine in the first episode we did, and still to this day, man, Marvel guys, it's hard for me to pick anyone against Wolverine. And I will say that over time, I think that Iron Man and Deadpool have started slowly moving up the ranks in my Marvel men category over time. But it's so hard for someone to beat Wolverine for me.
Have we had this debate before that this is ringing bells? Like I said, that Wolverine's like the John Cena of Marvel.
Yeah. Yeah.
I don't know that I stand by that so much now, but at the height of the Hugh Jackman movies and spinoffs,
yeah,
I feel like he was
Wolverine was shoved down your throat,
poster boy for a little a little while there.
And even in the eyes of the MCU starting, people were still like, "Wow, Wolverine, Hugh Jackman."
Well, and
Wolverine.
We get to look forward to Hugh Jackman's return this summer.
We do
Deadpool 3. The one and only Marvel movie that we're going to get this whole year.
I'm going to be honest, man. I'm kind of happy with that.
I think it's a good move. Yeah.
Yeah. I think that we've gotten a little oversaturated.
How can we miss you if you won't go away?
And since it's just the one, we can easily justify that being a Chattanooga trip and seeing it with Logan.
Yeah, I'm in.
So female. I'm going to have to go with Rogue. I can't remember if this was my female of choice in the first episode, but yeah, Rogue has still, she was always my mom and I's favorite Marvel female was Rogue.
Weren't you disappointed
the
in the
talked.
Movies?
Sugar. Oh, yeah. The movies disappointed me.
Yeah.
Greatly disappointed me.
It's
when it came to Rogue.
I'm really excited that we are talking so much about, you know, X-Men and our childhood with the animated series, because it's coming back, the continuation on Disney Plus, which I feel like they announced that like way early on in the Disney Plus era. I feel like we've known this was coming for a really long time, and now it's finally coming. I'm really starting to get excited about it.
And it's weird. It's about to drop, and they fired the guy in charge of it.
Oh, no,
last
really?
Last week. Yeah.
Oh, I think it drops in 2 days from when we're talking right now. So, favorite female in the Marvel universe for me is Jean Grey. Speaking of X-Men, I'm going to say Jean Grey / Phoenix.
Yeah.
I love that she has the ability to just so effortlessly kill, harm, do whatever she needs to do. The Phoenix, especially, I love that sultry sort of look and then attitude. And honestly, she wasn't like super strong in the movies, but I did enjoy her in the movies. The actress name's like Famke
Jensen.
And like people rag on X-Men 3 all the time, and I get it, whatever, but I still like the Phoenix in that. I mean, I know they screwed a lot of stuff up with it, but she was cool, like disintegrating people
cool.
and all that.
Her individually.
I love that. Yeah.
Yes. So, favorite Marvel villain guy?
Favorite male Marvel villain is Magneto. I like the ones who... Like there's just sort of a underlying theme here. Like the ones who can just like float and fly very effortlessly. Mm-hmm. Like I remember in the old, it's called X-Men. Oh, I can't remember the name of it now. I want to say Legends, X-Men Legends. These old games. Do you remember these?
Yeah.
Like you start out as Wolverine and you fight the blob. And it's like, it was the precursor to the Marvel Ultimate Alliance, which I love. One of my favorite games of all time. But you know, you could be Magneto and he just floats around. But I love that he's a strong leader. Even though he is considered a villain, he's sometimes, depending on what portrayal of him it is, he can be a sympathetic villain. He has heart, and I love the dynamic between Magneto and Xavier. so much and the parallels that sort of go along with. At the time that these stories were being told, this was right at the height of like Martin Luther King Jr. and Malcolm X, and you can see parallels there. So the history that goes along with the characters, and his powers are just super cool, and his helmet is really cool. And I have done a killer Magneto first class cosplay in the past.
Mm-hmm.
So,
and it doesn't hurt that Sir Ian McKellen played him.
And of course, my boy Sir Ian McKellen, close personal friend. Sir Ian We have a picture together from like 11 years ago. It's great.
Yeah. So I would have to go with Loki. And I don't think that that was my answer in the first one. But over time, over reading more, over going back and watching the animated Avengers Assemble cartoon on Disney Plus, and with what Hiddleston has done with Loki in the past 3 years alone since we quote unquote saw his death, I'm telling you, Loki is just, and I think a lot of it also, primarily Hiddleston, but if you go back and watch some of these old ones, he's very nice. Like he's got like manners, like, you know, like I beg your pardon, sorry to interrupt, you know, and just stuff like that. And he's so quick witted. I initially thought that, and I can't remember if I also said Magneto or Sinister in the first episode, but I think my style of villain in the Marvel universe has changed, like what makes me a fan of him. Like I've never liked Thanos. In the DC world, I never really liked Darkseid, like that overpowering, only wanting to destroy. And I never got that in your villain, but your villain that was funny, charismatic, I always liked that. And lately, I've been on a big Loki kick, as saying, like, yeah, that's my favorite Marvel villain. Could change in the next 5 years again. So
I love Loki. He's moved up for me as well. I think he's got, as far as like MCU goes, he's got one of the best, if not the best arcs.
Yes.
In the whole.
Yes.
Whole thing.
Yes, absolutely.
I think maybe second to Iron Man, in my opinion.
Yeah, I would say the two of them have, their arcs have just been phenomenally handled. And I think a lot of it goes to show the people, with the people who played them, who portrayed them.
Yeah.
That drove that arc. What about female?
So this is where one of the points that you made goes into play. You said that DC has better villains.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that is definitely the case. Mm-hmm. It's hard to pick a favorite villain because like there's not a ton that really come to mind.
Especially in the female category.
Like Marvel. Phoenix for Dark sure. Phoenix. Yeah. Even though I used her as my good guy one too, but
still.
And I don't necessarily love her in the movies, but like in the comics and stuff. I did like Mystique. But like the old blue skin, white
dress
attire, you know, not the weird scaly one.
Yeah.
I didn't care for that.
You liked Nightcrawler's mom, Mystique, from the animated series and comics.
Yes, sir.
Yes, sir. I'd have to say Scarlet Witch. I wouldn't have said Scarlet Witch before Elizabeth Olsen made her a little bit more appealing to me. So then I went back and read more Scarlet Witch stuff. Which, you know, if you're looking to do this kind of stuff, support your local comic book stores. Just saying that. I know there's tons of apps and easy accessibility out there to get comics on demand on your phone and your tablets and stuff. But still, go support your local comic book stores.
Convenience is nice, but holding the book in your hand and it's filling the pages, like that's also a nice, comforting, pleasing feeling. So,
and I mean, this is also the daughter of Magneto that said, "No more mutants." Boom.
Yeah.
Done.
House of M.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's a great pick. I don't always consider a villain. I mean, yeah. She definitely is in some cases.
Yeah.
I don't
kinda like Dark Phoenix. It's like
I don't automatically associate her with villain.
Yeah.
But that's a good pick.
So yeah,
they got, I think we probably said this last time. Like, this feels like I'm having serious deja vu. Like, we had this discussion about, hey, Marvel needs to step it up with the female villains.
Yes. Yes. Like, we need some new female villains.
MCU, I liked Hela a lot.
Yes. And the MCU, cool. Hela. Absolutely. She was great. And a lot of that has to do with Kate Blanchett.
Yeah.
And, you know, starting out as a somewhat villain in the first season of Loki, Enchantress / Sylvie was a great bad guy for two episodes, you know, but then she becomes a good guy and you love her. And I think that that's a lot with Marvel. There's that, you know, like, they're bad guys, they're bad girls, they're femme fatales, but there's also like lovability and so much gray area, no pun intended for Jean, mm-hmm. but a lot of gray area with the women villains in Marvel. Switch over to the blue brand a little bit. Favorite DC hero?
Nightwing is my favorite DC hero. Batman would be very, very close, like within inches second.
Mm-hmm.
Because that is what I grew up on.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I like, say, I don't know. I like that Nightwing could do all the flips and the acrobatic stuff. I was a big fan of that.
Well, you are also drawing a parallel, like we like to do. You're a cruiserweight fan.
Yeah, in wrestling,
especially
when I was younger, I loved the cruiserweights. So I feel like, you know, you talked about oversaturation, modern mm-hmm. wrestling. I mean, half the rosters are cruiserweight or an acrobat. So
now they are. But when we were kids, it was so rare.
And like, that's one of those things that Eric Bischoff did really well. He started the show with the cruiserweights, like mm-hmm. the fast paced action to start the show.
Yeah.
And that worked.
It did. It did.
Anyway, this is not a wrestling episode.
Yes. I would have to say definitely Batman for myself. It was aside from X-Men, it was some of the first comics I read was Batman. We had the 90s. Animated show Batman, who, you know, which really drove it home for me. And then growing up and it becoming as dark, much more dark than it was initially. And the movies that we've gotten, and I have had some changes amongst my DC, also making another, you know, parallel Mount Rushmore has changed quite a bit in the last few years. I have, in the DC world, really come to like Green Arrow a lot more. Reading a lot of those. I loved the show Arrow. Those first two seasons, sure, great. Stephen Amell was great. But I mean, like, Ollie that you read about in the comics, the animated show, the animated movies. Green Arrow and Flash have both started kind of working their way more and more towards my Mount Rushmore of DC heroes. But Batman's really hard to beat. That haunting, noir, you know, trauma that Batman delivers, even, you know, even in that 90s cartoon that we grew up with, that Bruce Timm worked on. I mean, and if you've noticed, I mean, anything that we favorite heroes, favorite stuff like that, a lot of my favorites are like polar opposites from how I am in life. I'm not dark and broody. I'm not lone wolf mentality. But in my comic books, I lean towards those type of people. What about female? And I know this changed for me. I definitely know this one changed for me.
I mean, it sounds bad, but I don't know that I have one.
Mm-hmm.
I like Wonder Woman, and I really liked the DCEU Wonder Woman, Gal Gadot.
Mm-hmm.
I loved her. I liked the Supergirl show a lot. Mm. So that sort of made me a little more of a fan of Supergirl.
And what's her face just got cast as Supergirl from House of the Dragon.
Young. Oh, yeah. I saw that. Yeah.
Yeah.
There's someone else I was going to mention. I don't know if this would probably be villain, but if you count the show, I was a big fan of Killer Frost.
Yes.
As well. Mm-hmm. But I think that's probably she'd belong in the villain category. So
she does. Typically what Flash, the live action show, did with her is very different.
What about Catwoman? I mean, which did she another one that's both
so much? She started as a villain, sure.
She's anti-hero.
She's definitely. Anti-hero. Yeah,
she's part-time on
now
both.
She's straight up married to Batman and part of the Justice League now these days. So off the villain registry and into the Bat family registry. I read this comic book recently where Lois Lane takes Selina to see the Fortress of Solitude, and they're like trying on different super costumes, and like Selina's wearing one and it's like the old Supergirl, it's like not short, it's like the long, and it like form fitting to her, and Lois is like, oh my god, Selina, you look great, and she's like, I know, can I take this off please? It's like, god, that'd be fantastic to see Lois Lane and Selina like have to fight crime together in super suits in like a show or a movie or something.
When Superman and Batman get the flu,
Lois Lane and their wives take over.
The super wives.
I would have to say Raven has become my new favorite female hero.
Good choice.
Definitely through the work of Taseya Farminga's voicing of her in the DC animated movie series that they've done. Those ones that all connected, like that 22, 23 movie series that they had that all, mm-hmm. like they started with like Justice League War and went all the way to the one that I showed you where Darkseid kills freaking everybody.
God.
Brutal. Yeah, it's like a 1920-21 movie. Continued universe. Taseya Farminga's voicing and the way they made Raven, I started to go, I'm kind of becoming a Raven fan. So I started reading a little bit more Raven comics. I've still not gotten into Teen Titans Go version of Raven or even that movie that you want me to watch.
Teen Titans Go to the Movies.
Yes, I haven't, but even the before Go, the Teen Titans show.
You like didn't watch regular, that as a kid?
Not Go. I watched Teen Titans.
The original Teen Titans.
Yes. And okay. I went back and watched some of those stuff, and I was like, Raven's awesome. But then it hit me. I was like, she's also dark and goth and broody and haunted. So I think as I get older, my likes are getting dark and broody and haunted. But yeah,
it comes like with age, man.
It does. It comes with age. DC villain.
Easy, the Riddler.
A Riddler.
Yeah.
Never gonna change that one.
No, it's not.
Especially since you got to talk to him this past year.
Oh yeah, I got to interview Wally Wingert. I guess it was last fall.
Yeah.
In Chattanooga. He was great. Mm-hmm. Lovely guy. He did the voice of the Riddler in the Arkham video game series. Yeah, he was fun. But I love the Riddler because the animated series, always liked the cane, and I liked he played games and mm-hmm. wanted to use his intelligence and stuff, and he was never quite as smart as Batman.
But he did challenge him in an arena that most villains didn't.
Right. And the Jim Carrey version, I loved. So that's my pick.
I'm still Deathstroke has gained some movement with me over the last few years, and so has Mad Hatter, but still the Joker, man, just that chaos. There's no understanding him.
Everybody loves the Joker.
Yeah. I don't romanticize him. I know that there's a lot of people who romanticize Joker and Harley as a couple.
Yeah.
Don't, because that's not a good couple. So just that, and it's so hard to beat Hamill's Joker from the animated world.
Exactly. Yeah.
Being introduced to that Joker first. Like if we were kids now and our Joker was Jared Leto, the first introduction that we may be getting, like if our parents, if we were kids and our parents weren't like, here's the animated series first.
Yeah.
Or here's Dark Knight. If the Joker I first saw in middle school or high school was Jared Leto's, my favorite DC villain wouldn't be the Joker.
Right. It
probably would be someone like Darkseid or one of the few other decent ones that have, you know, Deathstroke or Deadshot or Captain Boomerang or something like that. Mr. Freeze or... But since we were introduced to the Joker through the animated series that Bruce Timm did, then I think that that has a lot to do with it. Hamill's voicing of it and just that show in general. But and then also everyone, the Arkham of course. Games, you know?
Oh, yeah.
And of course, Heath Ledger.
That's what I was going to say. Everyone was so enamored with his portrayal in The Dark Knight.
Except for our theater teacher.
Except for our theater teacher. But yeah, I remember that era of our lives. We were all about the Joker.
Yes, we were.
Everybody was.
This one changed for me. What about female villain?
Poison Ivy.
That has not changed for you.
No.
I initially remember saying Talia al Ghul.
Okay.
But now I have become a big fan of Cheshire. She is Artemis's sister. She's a member of the League of Assassins, and she has an obsession with the Cheshire Cat from Alice in Wonderland.
So does she team up with Mad Hatter or something?
No, I've not read anything where she even marries Roy Harper at one point, Red Arrow. So
yeah,
she's going back and forth, but she's mainly a villain. But I love how she's always like, anytime she's like leaving or like a battle's over or something, or she realized she's been beaten, she's like, you might have this hand, but like the Cheshire Cat, I am gone. And just disappears. And she has this smiley mask, kind of like the Cheshire Cat. So
it's really I don't know how much of her.
Trained by Lady Shiva, who is in the DC universe the deadliest human being in the DC world. Lady Shiva. Nobody can beat Lady Shiva in a duel. She's in one of the Arkham games. Shiva really? Shows up to do something with
it's probably the Origins game.
Yes, I believe it is. Yeah. Which I don't dislike that game as much as I did the first time around. I went back and played it not too long ago on the old PlayStation. It's certainly not as good as the other one, sure. But
yeah, it's been a few years for me
to play that one. Origins.
Oh yeah. 100%.
So, if you could have any power or ability, what would it be?
No doubt, I would want the ability to fly.
Mm-hmm. Me too.
I love roller coasters, but also, I am notoriously impatient, and I hate being late, and I hate traffic because I have to sit and be still and do nothing. It makes me absolutely crazy. I have had so many times where I thought, man, I wish I could just pop open the door and just lift off the ground and just fly to get to where I want to go.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah.
Me too. It would take so much tension and stress of the trip to places off of our shoulders.
Yeah. And you never have to worry about your check engine light coming on.
Exactly.
You know, you just got to bundle up real good.
Yeah.
Take off.
Might be a little bit cool, but...
Probably. I'd hate to be cold, so I would wear like a few layers, but it'd be worth it.
If you could live in any fictional universe, what would it be and why?
Live in any fictional universe. Well, all of them would be fun, but very dangerous, don't you think?
Yes,
That's the scary part.
That's the ticket. Something's always trying to.
I mean, it makes me want to be like universes. Bikini Bottom. God, fictional universe.
Where the worst thing that's happening is a plankton's trying to steal a secret recipe.
I guess I would want, I don't know. I'm picturing like, I would love to live in like Rivendell.
Oh.
Which, that's a pretty safe place in Middle Earth.
Mm-hmm.
And of course, the good guys win anyway, but so I don't know.
Out of all the places, it's safe.
Because I really would want to say Star Wars so I could have a lightsaber and I could have a ship, which means I could fly and I could go to other planets and all that stuff. And plus the world, the universe would be more advanced and progressive with things, which would be cool. You know, but the Star Wars universe is especially dangerous because sometimes some lunatic builds a big machine that blows up a whole planet. So exactly. You never know. It's really a gamble.
Yeah. I would like to be a Saiyan in the Dragon Ball Z universe because it encompasses the flight. They fly. They're super fast, super strong. They can shoot shit out of their hands and like blow things up. And so like I could use all of those abilities to be a hero, but also when I get really powered up, my hair would change to blue. My hair would change to blonde and then blue and gray, depending on what level I reach.
But oh, that would definitely be a perk.
Power up and change my hair colors. And but yeah.
Definitely. Some of us have had blue hair in real life, though.
That's true. You have.
I have. Yeah. But in the Dragon Ball Z universe, is everyone like a Superman?
No.
Just the Saiyans.
Just the Saiyans. There's some other like races and
how many Saiyans are there?
When the
are they widespread common folk, or is it like there's only one or two? They were Obi-Wan Kenobi.
They're a rare race because they were wiped out. Most of them and their planet were wiped out.
Okay.
So there are very few left. But also Dragon Ball just recently in the last few years started playing with what everyone's playing with now. Many Earths, multiple universes, different worlds, different timelines, stuff like that. So
we just can't keep things simple.
Nah, everybody loves playing with those multiple worlds now. So you mentioned Star Wars, and I already know the answer to this one. Star Wars or Star Trek?
Oh, yeah. Star Wars all day long.
All day long.
I've never been a Star Trek fan, really. I have memories of The Next Generation when I was a kid. My older brother would watch it sometimes, and I just thought it was boring. That was before I was even into Star Wars. But, you know, mad respect for Sir Patrick Stewart. Because Jean-Luc Picard is a pretty cool character. And I know most people, like the true Trekkies, hated him. But I liked the J.J. Abrams Star Trek movies. I enjoyed them. So, but it's Star Wars. That's been a huge part of my life since I was 7 years old. I have fond memories of it, not just because I was a kid and loved it, but like it was something I shared with my dad. So it's a sentimental thing for me, too.
Yeah.
So.
Well, I'd say Star Wars, too. Lord of the Rings or Harry Potter?
Definitely Lord of the Rings.
Love Harry Potter.
I do have a lot of love for Harry Potter. Harry Potter is what made me want to be a reader. It's what got me to read. I had my mom's friend was out to visit us one time. I was very young and we were in the mall and she said, I'm going to go buy you the first two Harry Potter books and I want you to read them. And I still have those same copies to this day. She wrote in them. And that was a gift to me. And it took me forever, but I finally committed to reading the first book. I was lazy, so I would read like a page a day and be like, oh, I'm exhausted. And then I finally gave it a real chance, and then I could put it down.
Yeah.
And then same with all the others. But yeah, I mean, all that to say, Lord of the Rings is the preference for me.
Mine too. I'm the Lord world of Middle Earth is so what Tolkien created. I mean, paved the way for most of what we have today in literature. But
high fantasy.
Yeah, and high fantasy in general. I mean, without Lord of the Rings, you don't have The Witcher, you don't have Game of Thrones, you don't have Wheel of Time or anything like that. So, or half the stuff that our dear friend Beth Crowley sings about and writes songs about, those books. You don't have any of those books without Lord of the Rings. You don't have Harry Potter or Star Wars without Lord of the Rings, like that old good versus evil high fantasy world. Even though I choose Lord of the Rings,
yeah,
it's my and it's my favorite out of the two. It's actually probably my favorite franchise still to this day that I would choose. Harry Potter was, you know, we grew up with the character. He's, you know, today would be close to our age. It was a thing that we did as a family. Like, we didn't read Lord of the Rings or watch Star Wars as a family. But as a family, we read the Harry Potter books. Every year the new one came out, we would go to the midnight release.
Mm-hmm.
We would get it, and we would each read a chapter and do the voices and the characterizations. And, like, I remember when the last book dropped, we were waiting for it to drop before we left for vacation. And we each in the car would, like, Nolan got to do it first. Nolan got chapter one. He gave it to mom. She read chapter one. Then I read chapter one. Then Peyton read chapter, you know, so we'd pass it back and forth that whole vacation. So that was like a family thing. Like, when the Harry Potter books dropped, we were at the midnight release at, when they first started at Bookland in Morristown's mall. Then it became Books a Million. And every year that the movie dropped, the quote unquote midnight, the 10:30 showing in Morristown, not the midnight showing, the night before, the Thursday night before, me, Nolan, Peyton, mom, Regina, Caleb, Logan, if he was in town, Brett, like, we all met up at the mall, and that was the thing. Mm-hmm. As much as I choose Lord of the Rings and I love Lord of the Rings, Harry Potter was that thing that we all did as a family.
I also have stuff from the Lord of the Rings permanently on my body, as I have a ring inscription tattoo and a big Gandalf on my leg. Mm-hmm. Your wedding ring has the one ring inscription on it. So, yeah,
it's big. I walked out to the Shire theme song. So, yeah, it's huge in our lives. So, favorite TV show of the last 20 years? I will go ahead and answer this one.
Yeah.
Unapologetically, Supernatural.
Yeah.
I am addicted to the show.
God, I feel like I just have to say The Office. Like,
yeah. It's close for me.
Love The Office so much. Yeah, I think that's it. Like, there's a lot of shows that, like, I'll watch one time through and really have a great experience watching it, and, like, I can still hold it up there. Like, do you remember this? They did 11/22/63. It was a Hulu thing. It had James Franco in it, and it was about, like, this guy went, it was a Stephen King thing. Like, he went in a closet and he came back out, and it was days before the Kennedy assassination.
Yeah.
He was gonna try to stop it or something. I loved that show.
Mm-hmm.
Breaking Bad is one of the greatest shows, I think, in the past few years. That one,
Mom's favorite.
That's a
the chemistry.
Really great show.
Early Walking Dead.
Early Walking Dead. Yeah, that was big. So, but I think at the end of the day, I just got to say The Office.
The Office. It's close for me. It was between Supernatural and The Office, and I just, something about Supernatural that it's hard to word. So, any other questions or curiosities that you can think of, Juice?
Yeah, I think I got a couple.
Okay.
What is, if I had to, okay, so the idea is immediate response, so, which I kind of forgot throughout this process, sorry.
Me too.
What is your most favorite experience seeing a movie in a theater?
Ooh.
Most memorable or most favorite?
Most memorable, most favorite experience of seeing a movie in a theater. It was, I mean, it's probably, and it has nothing to do with what the movie was. It has more about the experience and, like, the moment. It's one of two. It's either the first time that we watched Fellowship in theaters, me and Caleb, or the two of us seeing, taking Ian Sexton, I believe, to see Wolverine 2 Origins, where he's in Japan and he keeps having flashbacks of Jean and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And about halfway through the film, like fourth or fifth flashback or you know, mirage or whatever you want to call it, you just like, I'm getting real sick of your shit here, Gene. Because we had Sagebrush before, we took little Ian Sexton after a performance of Les Mis that y'all had done, took him to Sagebrush,
yeah,
and then took him to see Wolverine 2 Origins,
yeah,
or whatever, Origins 2 Wolverine or whatever it was called,
yeah.
And just that day, that the way you just getting sick of your shit, Gene.
That was me.
The timing of the line, the way you said it, and just like the whole day, like it is either me and Caleb first watching Fellowship, because my memory of it is, you know, they're walking down Emmanuel and then it just ends. And I was like, what the? And he said, well, Tyler, there's two other books. And I said, yeah, I know, I've read them. They're not just going to give us the whole movie. He was like, it'd be
it's
like
been 3 hours.
Yeah. I was like, nah, it hasn't been 3 hours. We get out and Regina and mom are like, dang, it's a long movie. And I was like, ugh. And so they told me the time. I went, oh, I guess it was a long movie. Huh. Those two. Those were my favorite.
I got it have to be one of three. One, seeing The Empire Strikes Back the first time in the 90s when George Lucas released special editions. Mm-hmm. I went with my dad. And I don't know if this is how it happened or not, but in my memory, when Han was being frozen into carbonite, everybody was standing up. Maybe it was just me because I was little or something. I don't know, but I feel like we were standing, which probably didn't happen. That's really weird. I don't know why people would stand in a movie. And I'm sure like 99% of the people in that theater had seen Empire Strikes Back at that point.
Mm-hmm.
But anyway, it's a cool memory for me either way. Two, I think we went like for my birthday to the mall. It was me, you, and a bunch of the guys that we were hanging out with at the time. We went to see Bruno.
Oh, God. We took poor little Josh Ball.
Yeah, we did. And Harrison Ford had a cameo in that movie, and we spoke to his mother-in-law like that very night or the next day about it. And three, more recently, seeing Spider-Man No Way Home, I was just having a whole experience through that whole movie. So much so that my watch was saying, you need to breathe and all that. I was really worked up.
Yeah.
And that was great. That was a fun, fun experience.
That was, yeah, that was a good one. Because we were all together.
Yeah.
And it was game changing.
Wrestling is really hot right now.
Mm-hmm.
WrestleMania is coming up in like 3 weeks or so.
Mm-hmm.
Who's your current favorite wrestler?
My current favorite wrestler. That's a good question. I really like Cody and Seth and all that. But I have to say Rhea Ripley.
Okay.
I love Rhea.
Good choice. My favorite current wrestler is Seth Rollins.
Mm-hmm.
But of all time, any era, I'll go first.
Mm-hmm.
Mine is Sting.
Mm-hmm.
Who just had his official retirement recently. I loved the face paint as a kid, mm-hmm. the theatrics of that, the dark, spooky Sting. And I love the red Wolfpack Sting. I was him for Halloween a couple of years in a row. So
that's always been favorite. Between two. I've never been able to put one above the other, HBK and Taker. And yep. I would say that there's a little edge for Taker to be a little bit over HBK because both of them had moments where I didn't love what they were doing. Like I, contrary to a lot of popular opinion, I don't love American Badass. Mm-hmm. My Undertaker is the dead man, the phenom, you know. I don't like the HBK that was I guess European championship stuff from back in the day, but probably the two of them with a little edge over Taker because of the dark phenom dead character. And I mean, you know, but I also feel that a disservice has been done to him the last few times, taking the streak from him, having him wrestle battered and old, looking bad. They did it to Sean too, you know, the DX versus Brothers of Destruction match. That was terrible. Mm-hmm. Sean bald, you know, wrestling for the first time in 10 years almost. And yeah. So I think both of them had, had disservice done to him. But yeah, Taker and Sean, hands down.
I feel like I could have answered most of these questions about you accurately.
Mm-hmm.
The Cheshire thing, I don't think I would have ever gotten, but most everything else, I think I could have.
Yeah. I think I could answer. I could have answered these for you.
Yeah. That's why we're a great team.
That is why we're a great team.
For six seasons.
Yes.
Five years.
5 years, six seasons, and more to come. Anything else, Juice?
That's it. That's it for me, my friend.
Awesome. Well, nerds and nerdettes, thank you for tuning in. Welcome back. We're here in the sixth season. Thank you for coming back each season, each episode, sharing the things on social media. Speaking of, do not forget to follow us on Instagram, Facebook, X, TikTok. Go to tldstudio66.com. All three of the podcasts under Studio 66 are on one website. Follow all of the shows under Studio 66. Email us, 30nerdypod@gmail.com. If you have any questions, comments, concerns, suggestions, what are your likes? What are your dislikes? What's the nerdledge that we should know about you? Let us know. Stay kind to yourselves. Stay kind to others. And as always, cheers to you, nerds.
Good night.
There once were two dudes who met back in college. Nobody loved pop culture more. So they started a podcast to talk all about it. And 30 and Nerdy was born. Oh, 30 and Nerdy was born. You might hear them chat about shows like The Witcher or movies like Lord of the Rings. And if Josh has to choose, he is loyal to Marvel, while Tyler goes more for DC. Yes, Tyler goes more for DC. Now come, come, one and all, nerd up or shut up, just answer the call to be part of our journey into magical worlds. Join us and cheers to ya nerds. Join us and cheers to ya nerds.